Worship the Lord, and we read from our scripture. And David, let us, all those who seek thee, rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And we'd like to magnify the Lord together as we open our hymn books in this section of the worship service, with number 38 in our hymn books. Number 38 in our hymn books. Now, I thought there was no getting through this. All right. Number 38, please, as we worship the Lord. Joyful, joyful, we adore Him. In the scripture, the word bread is used in different fashions. Sometimes it's called even Jesus' body, the bread of life. And then also it's called the gospel, the manna, and so on. So 176 in our hymn books talks about break down the bread of life. And in that context, it's talking about the scripture, which is also called the manna from heaven, the manna that came from God. And certainly so. As we know, we who believe that the scriptures came from God, that break thou the bread of life, 176, as we sing together.
Be
Now we turn our pages to number 268. No building can stand without a firm foundation. And I was talking to Brother Salinas as they plan to move to Arizona and inspecting the house and talking to Richard on Wednesday. And the key in a house is not the curtains of the carpet. It's hire somebody who is a professional, an engineer, and go down and look the foundation. And he would tell you if it's a good house or it's not a good house. Whatever you build on the top depends on the foundation. And the same thing is on the spiritual life. So 268 talks about how firm a foundation. And for those who believe in Christ, we can say that we don't have to do an inspection of our foundation. It is solid. It is a rock. It is eternal. How firm a foundation we have. Number 268. Will you stand as we close the worshiping moments of our church with this beautiful hymn of ours, 268. How firm a foundation. Look to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Our Father, your word said in the book of Isaiah, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, no seeking thy own, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Father, we're here to delight in you because of your love, your compassion, and your mercy. May this be a fellowship in which the presence of Christ is seen in the love of the Father as we share alive with those who are visiting and with those who are over their ways.
Lord, we are reminded in the scripture to pray for our president. As we pray, that you give him the wisdom to know and to do what is right, and the courage to say no to all that is contrary to your statutes, the holy law of God. Lord, in an increasing complex and dangerous world in which we live, we need to drop into our knees and acknowledge our dependency on our mighty God and ask him to reveal his will, just as King David did. And so move your people to pray collectively as a church body. It is an honor to have missionaries around the world, Father, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement in each one of them. We plead for Carol and Ruth Knotts, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez, for Fred and Carol Lewis, for Ruben and Irene Zacher, for the Athletic Sport Association in San Jose, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for Martha Parepi as she works with the drug addicts in the Argentine Rehabilitation Center. Father, assist those who are sick, and we remember Mr. McDool with a heart arrest, Mrs. Otero and home Maida, David and others in our congregation who cannot be with us today. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium and there in our waves of KKMC radio and KKMC webpage in the internet, fellowship with our extended family. We also extend our prayers to all the listeners in WFME in the New York and New Jersey area, to WCJC in Oklahoma. Thank you, Father, for the extended family that you gave us through the means of radio, internet, and television. And now, once again, we magnify your name because of your provision and care for the ministry of the gospel. Bless those who do not understand. Bless those who are against even us because we preach the gospel. And touch the heart of those who believe not. Have compassion upon us and deliver us from the evil one. And when the day is over, we're going to be careful to give you, O God, the honor and the glory. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My friends, this is Pastor Otero, and speaking to you from the moment in which we have the offertory. We love to share our phone number, 778-2595, and that's in the 408 area. So 408-778 and 2595, in case you need help, encouragement, counsel, a touch of fellowship and companionship. We love to hear from you. And if you don't have money, you can call us collect, and we'd be glad to pay and assist you in everything you need. We're here to serve the community, but our community has extended. We now have the great fellowship around many radio stations around the world and certainly around the United States. And we pray that all our listeners be in touch with the presence of God. We don't want to be a substitute for a local church, no at all. But we want to be a place where people can listen and can receive the love of God and the encouragement from God and the compassion of God and the mercy of God. We are here not to judge you, but to help you. So please call us, and we will do anything possible to bring your spiritual life in touch with God. May God bless you. Let us join the service in progress. Thank you.
know him by name.
Choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 901, I believe. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 John 4. 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you have been gracious to us and have made it possible for us to come into your presence, and even now to call you our Father because of the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in our place and suffered for our sins. We thank you that you have revealed to us that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us until the day of redemption, and that through your gift of faith, we believe you and we know you through the written word of God. We are grateful that you have made it possible for us to test the spirits and distinguish truth from error. We pray for discernment and wisdom that we may rightly divide the word of truth and be kept free from error, that we may never mislead others when given the opportunity to witness to the truthfulness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes now to expose your word, that you would bless him, that the word preached would penetrate our hearts and be our nourishment. We pray that you would prepare the hearts of any listening who do not know you, that they would believe the gospel and repent and be adopted into your family. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the beautiful reading of one of the most serious passages of the scripture for us to take a look on. We are in the morning worship service, dedicating this time to worship the Lord through the letter that the Apostle John wrote to the church, as he wrote to the church of Ephesus from jail. And certain characteristics of this letter help us to understand God a little better, and help us to understand also other people a little better, and help us to counsel other people as we listen what they said, and perhaps we observe what they do. In chapter 1, there is no better description of the Lord Jesus than the first six verses of chapter 1, where John describes Christ Jesus as the light of the world. He said, "We have seen him and we have touched him." That is called in law an eyewitness. An eyewitness. Something that the Apostle Paul was in question with. And nobody can question John, because John saw Jesus and touched the Lord Jesus. Now also describes our responsibility. Walk ye in the light. Remember in verse 7, walk ye in the light. If you have seen Jesus, and you have touched Jesus spiritually in your heart, and you have the word of God in your heart, the exhortation was, walk ye in the light. Then in chapter 2, he gave us comfort for us believers, and he describes or deal with the issue of sin and what to do when we sin. You know, mankind knows that sin is real and have created all kinds of atonement for sin. Certain people believe that you have to pay something in order to be redeemed for your sin. Other people believe that if we create a series of you doing something for your own sin, then you can redeem yourself for your sin. And what a great verse is verse 1 in chapter 2. Please, never oversight that verse. They said, we should not sin, but if we have sinned, we have what? We have a lawyer, an advocate. And the Greek word for this is an easy one. The students in Greek, that's one of the first words they learn. It's made of two words. It's made of the word para, which is a preposition, and the word kleto, that come from the word kleo, to speak. So somebody who will speak beside you, exactly as a lawyer does in court for you. And he said, if you sin, please do not sin. But if you sin, and God knows that we're going to sin, we don't have to get saved again. We don't have to go through the rudiments of Christ dying again on the cross for us. This is done once for all. What John tells us is we have an advocate, we have a lawyer, and we go to him. So mankind also, as I observe
the study of religion and the world, mankind knows that he needs somebody. And so I guess my estimation is that their conscience and bother them. And because God has put us a lot of things of his creation in our heart, even when we were a natural man, then man said, well, we have to do something if we sin and we want to get right. And they create different things. They create parades that you have to go to the Mecca, for example, a certain day on the year. And in your knees, you have to be there for a day for 7 hours. And that will redeem you and cleanse you from your sin. Also, man have created certain objects. And if you, they give names to these objects and they glorify these objects and gave them authority to forgive your sins. And maybe it's names of people who die and have lived a good life and a godly life, perhaps innocently, not doing anything about being themselves glorified, but they did good acts in life. And then some people take their life and then say, oh, see, this man, because he lived good, he can pray for you. And then we have different advocates that man have created. Thank God that John described the name of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to another. So chapter 2 describes a great advance for us and a great encouragement for us believers. When we sin, we can go to Jesus. He is our lawyer. Also, in the three consecutive paragraphs after verse 2, the Apostle John give us different symptoms that help us to discover if we really know the Lord. If you ask somebody in the street, from time to time, I go to the Oakland airport close to the radio and with a hidden microphone, and I ask people questions, identify myself as a reporter, and I said, I only have one question for you. If you could help me, are you a Christian? And it's interesting, the answer. Some people don't want to answer. Some people avoid you. But the most important part is the people say, yes, I'm a Christian. I belong to such and such a church. Other people will say, yes, I'm a Christian. I have been baptized. I carry in my pocket the certificate of baptism, and the church guarantees that I am a Christian. Other people don't know, and they say, well, I go to church, and I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. They are wondering. And so the Apostle John, God, through the Apostle John, gave us symptoms whereby we can know and discover by ourselves as we look into the holy word of God if we are Christians or not. You don't need somebody tell you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. You will know it in your heart if you look upon the word of God and see what God says need to be seen in your life. And then we have a great chapter in chapter 3 that we just finished with three sermons in chapter 3 because it's talking about love. Remember, confronts us with the issue of love and the necessity of loving each other. I just overheard this morning the class, the I don't know if they call it the young couple class or the older young, whatever that class is called, Brother Dulilo, all right? I overheard, was in my office, typing something, overhead our brother, making a good point on Christianity. And here's what it is. The fact that I dress with this suit and tie and shoes, I was born in this way. That's the way I am. If you see me in the pulpit in blue jeans and no ties and a shirt, that's no Pastor Otero. You immediately will think, what's wrong with the pastor, all right? Because from the time you know me, you come to my home and I'm just cleaning the driveway, I'm with a suit on it. You know, that's the way I do it. But each one of us has an independent spirit in how to dress and how to eat, is that right? And how to do things and so on. And that doesn't show you any high class or low class or nothing. Society do so. Society
You see these fancy restaurants, you don't see anybody in blue jeans, everybody's well-dressed and so on. But that is not the issue. The issue is this. Your clothing and your style of life and how you eat and how you live is yours, privately and particularly. Doesn't make you a better Christian or a much important Christian at all. See, I need to love you as you are. When God came and talked to you and revealed himself to you, that one day happened. That's the only way to be a Christian. When God comes in and revealed himself to you, he did not wait until you put a suit on it. Or took a bath and said, now I have perfume and so on, and I'm sitting, and God said, I can talk to that now. No, God, who knows how God talked to you and to those people who are listening over the radio in Oklahoma, in New Jersey, in California, in across America. Who knows how? When was the moment when God talked to you? I was in a shower, completely nude, when the missionary came to talk to me. And someone said, well, you cannot talk to him. He's taking a shower. He said, well, it's all right. I talked to him. And so he came to me to talk to me. I was taking a shower after a game. And so who knows how the Lord is reaching you? See, the way you are outside and so on doesn't depend your Christianity at all. And so John said, use that as a means that you love your brother regardless who the stature of your brother is. And these social classes that we put in society, that do not work with God. You love your brother. Love the brethren was the message of John chapter 3. And then the implication was this. If you cannot love the brethren, even if a brethren is wrong, if a brother, your brother is wrong, you know what you have to do with him. You're no police. You're not the Holy Spirit, by the way. And neither I am the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for our brother or for our sister. We pray. And we love it. And we need to clean up our head that we never judge our brother or our sister for what happened, because one day it will happen to us. And so we love it. That relationship of Christianity is beautiful. It's beyond measure. It's when the pastor or the deacons or somebody want to play as the Holy Spirit that really makes it really, really bad. But when we love each other in that beautiful relationship, it is just wonderful. And John said, hey, encourage yourself, because if you love each other, you know you are of God. You know you are of God. And the Bible said, remember in John 3, if you cannot love your brother that you see, how are you going to love God that you do not see? I think it's a great comparison. Now we come to chapter 4 today, and our brother have read for us verses 1 to 6. And these first six verses of chapter 4, we have three things to consider with reference to true or error. I was talking to somebody in the Auckland airport about Christianity, and the man told me this. He said, sir, that is your personal opinion. When you talk to people about Christ, you have to say, he wanted to teach me English, of course, and he said, you have to say, my personal opinion is this. So that your opinion is respected, and you respect the other opinion. And I said, sir, when you go to court, have you ever been in the jury? He said, yes. When you went in the jury and the chamber of the judge, that he going to instruct you in how to know what is right and what is wrong, that he said, now is your personal opinion if it's right or wrong? Or that he said, sir, here is the law. And he will have a section of the law with reference to that particular case in which you're going to be a jury. He encourages you to read it and to apply everything you hear to the strict regimen of the law. And that, then you take your stand and you say, that person is guilty or no guilty. Not according to your personal opinion, but according to the law. This is how this applies to Christianity. Very simple. One day, we're going to be judged in heaven. And the law is going to be applied. No, your law, no, my law, God's law, which is the Bible. The book, the Bible, is the law. This is no opinion. This is not the opinion of Jeremiah and the opinion of Paul and the opinion of Moses. This is the law, ladies and gentlemen. And when God applies the law, it is right or it is wrong. The same thing with respect to truth
or not true. So there are three things I want you to consider in these six verses, because either you are in the truth or you are in error. And I don't want to judge you. You judge yourself. Let's start. The first thing that John spoke about is convulsion. Convulsion is an English word used in England as twisted. When something is really twisted and turn around, it's a convulsion, the British people said. As when you go on vacation, they say you go on holiday, remember? I received a letter from my niece who said, love to write me in English. He said, I'm going on holiday, which means I go on vacation, like the British talk, all right? Remember, South America have English from Britain and not from America. It had nothing to do with America. They want the British English. And so I went to the dictionary and found out how the British will say something is twisted. The British will say it's convulsion. All right? So the first thing I want to talk to you about the convulsion of the gospel. The convulsion of the gospel. Look at in verse 1. The twisting of the gospel. We read, beloved, he said, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Not every spirit, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, remember historically the year is either year 98 or is year 105, between there. Very early, almost 1,900 years ago. And John said to the church, in about 50 years, 60 years after Christ died, and he said to the church, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. In other words, the word try is the word take a test. Take a test. To the spirits, whether they are of God, because, he said, and you can see why the word spirit and the word prophet are related, because many, he said, false prophets are going out into the world. And so he's saying, beloved, do not believe every preacher. Try the preacher, because many false preachers are in the world. Year 98, year 99. For those of us who enjoy keeping up with political issues, we are amazed, and I'm amazed. In South America, there will be shooting, but in America, they love to talk. It reminds me of Acts 17. I'm amazed when elections comes on or when the president speaks, because when the president gave a speech, and one political party will put a very spin on what he said and explain you what he said. Then the other party will come in after that party spoke, or the president spoke, who heard the same speech. Actually, the president, before it goes into the air, he handled the speech to the other political party. They have it in their hand before you hear it, letter by letter. And so they heard the same speech, and they will put their spin on what the president said and say he said something different, even opposite of what the other party said. Have you heard that? It's just fascinating. The president of the United States will speak. Some congressmen will help you because they think America doesn't know English, so some congressman will help you to tell you what he said, and then the opposite political party will come in and say what the president said is this, and it's entirely different of what the other party said the president said. It's just amazing. In America, in South America, they will be shooting right at the door of the broadcasting company. Then the one who's alive, you know who's the truth. The same thing is in the religious world. My brother, this, especially in America, is the same thing. Two men can take the same Bible. Two men can take the same Bible. One will put his spin on what it says, and the other will put his own spin on what he said and come up with the possession views, the views that are completely opposing in what they said. Now, then we are in trouble. What's the truth? What's the truth? What is the truth? So the gospel, in that sense, is like the British said, is convoluted by some people. We see example of this very often in television. I don't know if you have cable television or dish television. I have dish network German broadcasting Telefunken because I love to see my soccer games from Europe and South America. And my wife thinks I have a revival of my youth, but it's okay. And then it is amazing. They have two channels, 373, 372, who are dedicated to the gospel, they said. And I tell you, some people claim, I have watched them, they have the Holy Spirit in the palms of their hand, and they can throw the Holy Spirit to somebody, and they can knock down. Unbelievable. So I saw the other day in Germany, a big stadium, 10,000 people there, the pastor walked through somebody, and he said, I want to demonstrate you the power of the Spirit, and blow into his face, and the person flipped over. I thought the pastor may have very bad breath, and so the people went down. But this is what I saw. Now, are these people ridiculous or wrong? Who tells those people you are wrong? Have you seen Benny, from Lebanon, the richest preacher, Ben Henny? Benny is his original Lebanese name. Have you seen him dress? The richest person in the preaching world in the way he dressed. All the time, never put the same suit, never. He used it once and throw it away. I want to find out where they throw it away. And the man claims to know everything, and he used the Bible, same Bible you and I use. He used the King James, same Bible. He was talking the other day about I tried to call in Florida, as he said, quarter, but they were busy. There are angels flying around your house. I'm trying to call them to find out if they can identify. How can I see it? What kind of binocular do I use to see it? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so John writes, beloved, believe not every preacher, he said. Believe not every preacher, but you have to try the preachers whether they are of God, because many false preachers are into the world. So there is a convulsion of the gospel, and we need to find out. You will think that these false teachers and preaching would not draw a crowd that would fill a telephone booth. I saw these guys, they never want to draw a crowd to nor even fill a telephone booth. But once in a while, the camera, television, draws into the auditorium. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people there in very large auditoriums that looks like in a stadium. Now, upon seeing these things, we cannot help but ask ourselves this question. How could such a twisted message draw such a large crowd? How can a guy with such a lie draw so many people? And the answer is obvious. The people in those crowds are not obeying God's word as John said they should. Beloved, believe not every preacher, but try the preachers whether they are of God, because, said John, many false prophets are gone into the world. We live in an age when people are spiritually convoluted, twisted, in the sense of being all twisted up. Something just because some claim something is true, that makes it true. Some people say, well, this is true, let me claim true. When people hear so many different things,
being preached. How can people know what is true? I thought to myself, here I'm sitting in my home. This town from Germany goes over all the world, and people are sitting in their home or in their hotel or whatever, and they are listening to this. And then another preacher came in and said, entirely the apostle, how can people know what really is true and what really is not true? That's a fair question. The only way you can tell if a preacher is preaching the truth is to compare what he says with what God's word said. That is the only way. The only way you can tell that a preacher is a true preacher is when you compare what he says with God's word. Now, there was a church like this, and if you come in the evening service, we are in Acts 19 tonight, but when we were in Acts 17, remember, turn your Bible to Acts 17 and verse 11, and you will find out that there was a church in Acts 17 and in verse 11 that did just that. A church that when Paul came in and brought an entire new idea about the Messiah, do not panic. They listened, and they did what we all need to be done. They went home, and over there they had to get the scrolls of the Old Testament and look on it. Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bible said concerning the church of Berea, these were more nobles than those in Thessalonica. Because when the Thessalonica people hear Paul saying that Jesus the Messiah, they got the tomatoes and boom, right in their head. But these people were more nobles. And that they received the word with a readiness of mind. Look at the word. Readiness of mind, and search what? The scriptures daily, whether those things were so. In other words, the only way that people in Greece will know that Paul was saying the truth is by getting the Old Testament scrolls and find out what the Messiah is supposed to be and compare that with what Paul really says. They receive what? What the verse said? They receive what? They receive the word of God. All right? Look at verse 11. They receive what? They receive the word of God. How? Look at how. With readiness of mind. And they were willing to act on what God said. But the first day first made sure whether it was God's word or not. They were serious about it. No matter how a person feels, if a thing contradicts God's word, that is wrong. That's it. That's how we know it. That is wrong. God never told anyone to see if a Mormon Bible was correct or a Jehovah Witness Bible is correct. God never said that in the scripture. But God said, try, test the teachers and the preachers with the word of God. Try them. We are to search the scripture to see what is truth. Now, by the way, the Bible tells you what is truth. If you go to, you're in John, go to John 17. In verse 17, the Bible tells you what is truth. The Bible said in John 17, 17, Holy Father, sanctify them in thy truth. And the Bible said, thy word, Rema, is truth. Thy word is truth. So we know that we are comparing what people says with the right thing. With the Lord God, thy word is truth. So first, in these verses 1 to 6, we have a convulsion of the gospel, a twisting up of the gospel. Then we have a confession. Going back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, we have a confession. Look at in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, said the Bible. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not
that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come, and even now is already in the world. Now, class, what is the Antichrist? It's very simple. Somebody who said that Jesus is not of God. In other words, the easy way to do this is this. False religions attack the divinity of Christ. You know it's a false religion when somebody said that Jesus Christ is not God, period. You don't have to talk to those people anymore. You don't have to argue anymore. You just pray that God will have compassion on them and lead them. That's what the Antichrist is. The Antichrist is not a man that's going to be raised in the universe and mislead the people. They're already here, said the Bible. They're already here. Read the Bible and believe it. It's already here. You know, Tim LaHaye keep on writing books. He was wrong the first time, wrong the second time. And he keep on writing books, and people keep buying books. They are novels. They are scripts for movies, but they're not the truth. They're not the truth. The Bible said the Antichrist is here. And who is the Antichrist? Anybody who said the Messiah have not come. The Jewish people are Antichrist. They don't believe in Jesus. Because they said that Jesus is not the Messiah. And that's what the Bible said. And somebody, I've received many letters now that we are on the East Coast broadcasting, many letters. And some of them, they say, I have no love. Others say, I have no compassion. Others say, I will sue you for discrimination. That's interesting. You know, but the Bible had no opinion. Had no opinion. The Bible says what it has to say. Either you come through, or the confession is this: Jesus Christ is God. That's the confession. If you say Jesus Christ is not God, you're a false religion, and I should not talk to you. John was dealing with the incarnation of Jesus. You know, the devil wanted to kill Jesus when he was born. Remember? And the devil wants to kill Jesus in the heart of people today by making all kinds of arguments and saying that Jesus is not God. To teach Christ, God's Son, did not really come in the flesh. If you teach that the Son of God did not really come in the flesh, is a daily teaching. You know why? Because since we cannot visit heaven or hell to see what is there, then God's going to judge you one day and burn you in hell for not telling Jesus he is God. False teachers of John's day and our day teach Christ was not the Messiah. Christ is Jesus, the word for Messiah. Their teaching tell you other ways to get to God, really. Oh, Jesus, yeah, he is the Son of God, but he is not God, they said. That's the Antichrist. Satan knows God's word teaches Jesus, God's Son, came to reveal God to us and to pay the price for our sins. So he does all he can to leave men astray. Look what the Bible says about Jesus, for example, in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, the Bible talks about Jesus very clearly. Neither, say the Apostle Peter, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to do the same thing the Christians of John's day, they did. As we try the spirits, as we try the teachers and the preacher with God's word, John said, hereby know ye the spirit that is of God. If somebody is speaking to you and telling you that Jesus is not God, he has a spirit not of God. So he has a spirit of Satan. It's very clear. John had eternity in view, and he wanted them to try the false teachers by comparing what they say with what they have heard of the apostles when they preach Christ. Peter, when he preached, there is no other name. The apostles, that's what they did. We have looked at the convolution of the gospel. It's twisted. and the confession. See, it's not so hard. You don't have to learn 500 pages of the confession. There's one thing wrong the Protestant church did. They wrote the confessions. And they hold the confessions as the only truth. I know that personally because Mr. Harold Camping, the president of Family Radio, and my friend, we have looked upon the confession. We have one. We have found one who is very honorable because at the end they said, if it's any error, be corrected with the scripture. But that's not the position of the Presbyterian Church today, Presbyterian Church of America, Christian Reformed Church, Reformed Church of America. They hold the confession of faith as the absolute truth of God. That's wrong. The absolute truth of God is the Bible. And the Bible of God alone. And the confession is this. If it's a confession, it's right here. That Jesus Christ is God. That's the confession. Now the conquest. We have the convulsion. We have the confession. Now the conquest. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, he said to the Christian. And 1 John 4 and verse 4. And have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, said John. Christians are surrounded by an ungodly world, said John. But notice, John encouraged us, he said, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. It matters not how many gun upon us and try to beat us into submission or to try to make us to believe what they believe. Doesn't matter how big they are. No. We have the truth of God's word to reveal who is wrong. And that's what really matters. God tell us that he that is in us is greater than all the false teachers put together. That is a comfort. That is a comfort. Verse 4 said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. You see that word? Done. Because Christ is in you, you have overcome them, he said. Now, how did we overcome them? Look at the word. Ye are of God, and have overcome them. Who are these? Now, let us look now at verse 5. And look in verse 5 where the Bible said, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. Now listen carefully. The they in verse 5 and the them in verse 4 are the same people. Look what John says of them. He shows us three things about them. Number one, they are of the world. You see that? That is, they only have the natural birth. Only the natural birth. They had never been born again. That's the problem. One of the things that frustrates Christians is that we have to deal so much with people who had never been born again, so they cannot understand what we say. The frustration comes because sinners see everything from a physical perspective, a scientific perspective, but we who are born again see everything from a spiritual perspective. And that's the difference. That's the difference. He said, they are of the world. So when we talk to somebody of the world, which we are compelled in the scripture to talk to, we have to have patience. Number two, if you see the verse, said, secondly, therefore speak they of the world. Speak they of the world. In verse 5, they say that. That is, they speak the only thing they know how to speak about, worldly things. If you talk to worldly people, the only thing you hear is worldly things. What are you going to hear? They are of the world. They do not know that Christ is the door of salvation. So they talk about themselves. They speak of other ways to get to heaven, since they are of the world, and they speak of the world. And guess what? There's a third thing in verse 5. The world hear them. You see that? The world hear them. Boy, that brought comfort to me as a pastor. We talked in the business meeting. When I had the business meeting here in church, and I'm glad many of you came in and asked you the question, should I leave? Should I stay? Should we get another pastor that will make this church with 10,000 people and so on? And I'm glad where you stand. In verse 6, look at what verse 6 said. We are of God. He that knoweth God hear us. He that is not of God hear not us. Hereby know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Now that's why those people in television with a false gospel and with a natural appeal have 10, 20, 15, 30,000 people. Now there's nothing wrong for the church to have 30,000 people. But when you share the gospel and the severity of God's word and the law of God, then you have those people praise the Lord. But when you share natural things, of course people want to hear. You see, if we have a class in psychology, we maybe have 5,000 people here in our auditorium because people want to hear things of the world. See, they don't hear things of the gospel. They said they hear things of the world. When lost people speak of the world, this is exactly what lost people want to hear. If I preach a strong gospel and everybody agree, I wonder if I have preached the correct gospel. The world will hear false prophets because they are talking the same language. That's why. When you come to the church, any church that preaches the scripture, then you're in trouble. Because it's not, I hope, is not the same language. The conclusion I found in the preaching of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Truth of error. So here is how Paul did it, how he really worked in these. In verse 18, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, and I'm going to read all the way to the end. Look at how he preached. This is how he preached. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See, to the people of the world is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You can see it. You can see it. Look at verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? And where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, by their vocabulary, they never came to know God. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Is that simple? 4, verse 22, the Jew requires sign. You know, you heard people about sign? Somebody told me, what sign do you have? What sign do you want me to have? I said, you know, what sign do you have? What sign? You tell me. Do like this, what do you want? And the Greeks, after wisdom. Somebody said, are you philosophical in speaking? You're a sinner. You're going to hell unless God save you. What philosophy is in that? That's like big signs say, warning, stop where you are, watch it, ask God for mercy, so that you too can be in heaven. Verse 24, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And look at verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, my brother, there is nothing in us, everything is in him. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in what? In 10,000 people in church? No, my friend. I glory that there are people in this church who are saved. I glory that there are people listening in KKMC, they are saved. I glory that there are people in K and WFME, they are saved. In KJCH, they are saved. I'm glorying and that there are people who God has reached and touched their heart and changed their life. And it's not my work. The only thing I have done is I preach in God and his mercy. Did the work. Now that's the gospel. The majority would not hear it because it's not the accent, my brother. Somebody wrote me a letter. If you change your accent, I can hear it. No. If God changed his heart, he will hear it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You have given us the gospel. It's not because we are better than anybody else. So we cry, Lord, for those who are in error
We cry. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. God, change their heart that they may be like one of us. We thank you for what you have done for us. But Father, we have family members, we have relatives, extended family that need this gospel. And Lord, you know how to bring to their heart. You know how to open the heart. You know how to call them out of darkness into light, out of a tomb into a life with abundant life. Oh God, thank you for John 4. Help me to be a faithful preacher. Help our congregation to help me as they study in home what I preach to them and they share with me the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the safety that we have in thy law. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. As we close the morning service. Father, we are blessed by your word, who in simplicity and with power help us to determine the beauty of truth and show us error. We thank you, Lord, that many of us, not only here, but over the radio, over the tape ministry, many, many, many of us have come to know Jesus as God, so we are not in error. And we have come to confess that he is our God and our Savior. We thank you, Lord. This is your work. So, Lord, we have compassion. Our heart rejoice in one sense, and the other part of the heart feels sorry for so many thousands of people who have not yet come into the truth. We pray the faithful teachers will tell them like it is, so that the Holy Spirit will work and you will redeem your people till that precious day when you come and rescue us to be with you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to study in seminary or study foreign language to know the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth. And if I speak the truth, your people will know it. Thank you, Lord. Bless us and unite us together so the other people who do not know the truth may be moved with great love and compassion. Help us to understand those who oppose us, who are not of the truth, and help us to have compassion. Help us not to argue with them, but to pray for them. And when the day is over, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.